Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCAA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
And we're back. And joining us now, Amanda DeWarren, and all the way from Brisbane.
Sunshine Coast, actually.
Oh, well, you know.
It's all, off, doesn't matter.
It's all bad accent for me anyway, right?
Yeah, especially ours. Yeah.
Well, you know how it is. I give it a try anyway. Well, you sound like you're doing great today. It's this afternoon for you. It's evening for us.
Yes, it's coming on to, it's a beautiful day here on the Sunshine Coast, and yeah, it's, we've had a few storms lately, but that's nothing unusual for the sunny coast, but it is a beautiful day here.
Yeah. Well, you're a day ahead of us, so.
Well, hopefully your tomorrow will be like our today.
I'm hoping. By the sounds of it, yeah. So now for the listeners over on this side that don't know who you are, which I like to follow people in this kind of work, so tell them a little bit about who you are and what you do over there.
I'm Australia's leading animal communicator. I communicate with animals living, and I communicate with animals that are past, and I also have a service for sick pets. I can body talk into the sick pets, and they can tell me what's going on with them. For instance, a cat the other day, I picked up straight away that the cat had tumours in the chest and they were going into the throat area. So I had a conversation. The cat had the conversation through me with her mummy. She said she'd been with her mummy for 16 years and she had been found as a kitten. So, I mean, this information I don't know any of. I also have a column in the leading Australian women's magazine, which is Woman's Day. I have a column called The Pet Whisperer, which I contribute to every week. They've asked me 2 years ago to become a contributor or a columnist in their magazine. And, yeah, they absolutely love my columns every week. So, yeah, if you log on to Woman's Day Australia, then you'll see my column every week.
Wow. Now on the animals, now you communicate with ones that are alive as well as ones that have passed.
Yes.
Is there a difference in the communication when you get...
When I communicate with the ones that have passed over, they come from a different realm. I can see that they're no longer in body, that they're just coming through in spirit. So I know that they don't have a heartbeat, and they're usually with someone that has passed over, a family member or someone that's with the that knows the dog knows. Sometimes they don't specifically know that person when they were here, but they see them around, like say a father figure that's been gone for 15 years. They don't specifically know that person physically, but they know them when they come to visit the family. So it's like, oh, you know, Pop, he passed away 15 years ago, comes to visit all the time. I know who Pop is. So that's generally, there's always someone, that meets them when they pass over.
Wow. So now, is it quite different for their passing as it is for a human?
No, their passing is depending on how their passing is, whether it's... if we've had to make the decision to say goodbye to them, they're never, ever, ever angry at us or upset at us because they know that we've only tried to end their suffering and not their life. So they understand that we didn't want to see them suffer, so we had to make that very, very painful decision to let them go. But they always come back. It's all right, Mummy. It's all right, Daddy. I know you had to make that decision. I was in pain. I was suffering. There was too much going on. And they always come back with absolute love for us. I've never seen an animal come through, even if the owner was the reason why they passed, say an owner's accidentally run over their pet, or which has happened in the past. The animal still comes through and goes, Mommy, it wasn't your fault. I know you wouldn't have done this intentionally. So they never come through with anger for us, because their love for us is priceless and endless. They never stop loving us even though they've passed over. They've physically gone, but spiritually they are still very much a part of our lives.
Wow. So can people, like a lot of the mediums for humans when they pass say that you can talk to your loved ones and they give you messages and signals. Is it the same for the pets? Like do they leave things for you or...?
Absolutely, definitely. I do all my readings over the phone, or I have clients all over the world. And when I communicate with the animals that have passed, generally a lot of people come back and say, oh, I felt Kitty around, or I felt my dog around, or I saw them out the corner of my eye. And one day I was doing a reading for a lady, and she was sitting across from me on a table. All of a sudden, I saw this black cat, the apparition of a black cat, walk to the left of us, past the table, under my chair, and back out the other side. And I looked at the lady, and she looked at me, and she said, you just saw that, didn't you? And I went, was that a cat called Sooty? She said, oh, my gosh, it was my cat when I was a child. And we saw the cat's apparition. It's actually in my book. I wrote about, you know, quite bizarre experiences when I was learning to become an animal communicator and medium. I mean, you're always learning, but when I was getting to that point, we actually saw the apparition. And my dog since passed. She passed 3 weeks after my father passed. And the other day I was sitting on the sofa and my other big dog was with me. He's still alive. And I saw a apparition of her, as she always did. She came to the left and she sat down in front of my feet. So they do, and you hear them, you sense them, you feel them, you smell them, you just know that they're there. They still always want to be a part of our lives. And sometimes they'll come through and say, oh, Mum, you've changed the bedroom around. Oh, Mum, you've got a new pet. Oh, Mum, you know, Dad's got a new job or something. They just know things.
Yeah.
It's just amazing what they know. That, you know, people, many years ago, they used to say that, you know, dogs and animals were the dumb creatures. Well, it's actually the opposite way. I think that we are the dumb animals and they are the smart ones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and they communicate so well without talking.
They do.
It's amazing.
They do. Yeah. I did a reading for a zoo animal the other day. A zoo, I'm not allowed to say on the radio who it was, but a zoo rang me and they said, we cannot get our elephant to eat. What is the problem? And I said, for a start, you're feeding it at the wrong time. It doesn't want to be fed in the morning. It wants to be fed in the afternoon. And when you're feeding it in the morning, don't let anyone see it. I said, it doesn't want people watching it when it's eating its food. It prefers to be alone. So that afternoon, they took the elephant behind the scenes, closed the door, left the elephant alone to its own devices, and the elephant started eating.
Just crazy.
I know, but it's an absolute true story.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I just think a lot of people don't realize that animals are quite sensitive.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'm the number one animal communicator in Australia, and I've been doing this for a very long time, so I understand the concept of animals and the connection we have with our animals to their loved ones. You know, they desperately want to get through. Even if I'm just doing a medium reading, normal, you know, person that's passed over, a lot of times animals will come through.
Wow. So are they looking to communicate with their owners, you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The other day I did a reading for a lady who was in her 90s, and she wanted to communicate with a cat for a specific reason, and her cat that had just passed over. And I felt this cat had been back before, and I said to her, has this cat come back three different times? Is that what you felt? And she said, oh, goodness gracious. She said, yes, that's what I wanted you to tell me. So they know what we're wanting to ask them, who they're with, are they okay? This cat had, it was the same soul that it had been reincarnating into three different cats that this lady had during her lifetime.
Wow. So the pets are reincarnating as well?
They did this time. Not always. It doesn't always happen, but they do sometimes come back because they want to live another life with us, because they still want to be a part of that. They're still, our animals are very connected to us through spirit and through our soul connection with them. And animals are incredibly intelligent. They're also very brave, and they know when we're feeling sad or when we're feeling happy. You know, they understand. They try and, like, when my dad passed, and then I lost my husband 2 years ago in a truck accident. And, you know, both my dogs were just incredibly there for me the whole time because they knew what I was going through.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a big 57-kilo Mastiff Cross Great Dane.
Wow.
He's a big boy.
Wow. No, I know because I, you know, we rescue dogs myself. I've got 3 acres, and I always take on the older ones from Woofer Rescue down here.
Oh, bless you, darling. Thank you so much for that from the bottom of my heart.
Well, I mean,
you are just one of the most wonderful people that do this type of thing, and I am so grateful that you and others like yourself have been put on this planet to give these guys a second chance. It's incredibly important.
You know, I think it's amazing because I take the older ones, so they're always a few years plus, and they get abandoned or whatever, and nobody ever wants them, and so I always have them. But you know what? They're amazing, and you just get a connection with them as soon as you meet them. It's almost like they're just family. You just know it, and they just become part of the pack, and it's just like they're family from passed on. You know, it's the strangest feeling.
Did you have a larger dog that's passed over that was yours?
Medium-sized, I'd say.
Medium-sized. Did you, a female, was it?
Yes, actually, yeah, a female, yeah.
Did you have her for quite a long time?
Yeah, one of the longest.
Yeah, you had her for a number of years.
Oh, because
you said she was your specific dog for, what, 14 years or something, was it?
You know, I don't even know how long exactly. She was a rescue.
Yes.
A Sheltie girl, and she stayed until she passed, and that was it was a long time. I mean,
it was a very long time, and that's the one that I've got coming through that is specifically wanting to connect to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's a very gentle dog, and I felt she'd had a very, very tough, tough beginning.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Really tough. I mean, I never assume because the dog is a rescue that it's always had a bad time, but I feel absolute abuse around her.
Oh, yeah, she was...
And that's what she's showing me. She said complete and utter abuse. And was she about 3, 4 when she came to you, or a little bit older?
I'd say probably in the 4 area.
Because I'm sort of seeing 3, maybe a little bit older, and I feel like you just kind of ended up with her.
Yeah, Yeah, actually, yeah.
You weren't planning on getting her. Probably, you know, that's a general case of you. But she is so gentle.
Oh, yeah,
and
very.
I feel like she still helps you these days. She's been gone a few years now, has she?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's been.
Yeah, because I feel like it's probably, what, 10 or 11 years since she's passed?
Not quite, but probably about, oh, God, you know, maybe it is. Because, yeah, it's pretty close to that, maybe 8.
It's probably closer, because I feel like quite a number of years since she's passed over.
Yeah.
And she wanted to thank you for giving her a wonderful life all those years and loving her. She was incredibly intelligent.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I feel she was a very special girl to you.
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
She was. I know you've got a lot that you've rescued, but this one particular one really wants you to come through. What was her name? Was it like Lani or something or Millie or something?
Madeline.
Madeline. I knew it was the M-L. Yeah. I nearly had it.
Yeah, no, that's it's all, yeah. Yeah, it was
I don't know anything about you, Al. I know nothing.
Yeah.
But I know it's her that's coming through.
Yeah, she was a beautiful
and
doll.
She was really important and really special. Did she have a funny leg?
Well, no. Well, you know, she was treated really weird because she had been debarked twice. And she went through quite a... She didn't know how to be a dog. Her teeth were all rotting.
I know, she was badly neglected. I've got one that's dragging, a littler one that's dragging its leg.
Oh.
So I feel that was another one that you had.
Oh, yeah, that's... You see that Scooter now? That was a small Chihuahua. That was another
That was the little one. That's the little one I've got who's got the bad leg.
Yeah, yeah. And,
that's him. He's passed, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's hit by a car.
Yep, he's coming through with the Sheltie.
Okay, yeah, that's...
you've got to knock... Sorry, I had to launch into it, Al, just because they were bothering me and wanted to come through.
No, that's fine.
So, and you had Scooter for quite a long time, too. Not quite as long as Madeline.
Not as long as Madeline, but quite a while.
No. Yeah. But he was with you for quite a long time, he was such a cheeky, very friendly, loving fellow.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Very gentle, and he didn't have as bad a life as Madeline, but I felt that there was a lot of emotional neglect around him.
Yeah, I think so. It's always hard to tell.
He was a bit nervous, was he?
Yeah, a little bit, but...
He said, I was a bit nervous, I was a little bit timid, but you helped... Is it your wife as well that helped him through this?
Actually, yeah, well, a partner, like he's... Yeah, him. Yes.
Your partner, because he says they talk about their mummy.
Yeah.
And, those two really wanted to come through, Al. I needed to bring them through for you.
Well, that's great. Lovely.
It gives you a little bit of an idea of what I do.
Yeah. It's amazing. So when did this start for you? Like, when did it start happening?
It really started to come to fruition when I worked with Steve Irwin for 2 years.
Oh, lovely man. Yeah.
He still bothers me.
Oh.
I've got a lot of work to do, apparently. Yeah. I worked with Steve and Terry Irwin for 2 years, but I knew I had it before then. Working with Steve and Terry really brought out a deep compassion. I mean, I've always loved animals, obviously. My mother taught me a farrow to ride, horses. My mother was very much a horsewoman. My dad was a dog person. And I've always had animals around me. But working with Steve and Terry brought to a very deep compassion and a deep understanding of all animals, not just domestic, but wild animals.
Wow.
And Terry used to say to me, you have something with animals. They never want to hurt you. They just want to be near you. And it still happens to this day. I was doing a TV interview a few months ago on this dog that was actually at the studios, which is underneath someone's house. He'd never gone near anybody. He was terrified of everybody, yet he walked towards me. This is on film, mind you. He stepped up onto the sofa and put his head on my lap. And they just the camera crew, everybody could not believe what was happening at that time. I said, just leave him. He's happy there. Yeah. And they're like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe he just did that.
Oh, but that must be really, give you a certain amount of fulfillment, hey?
It does, and I give back. That's the thing, Al. If there is, I do a lot of free work for people that foster animals that want to know a little bit about them. They want to know about the animal's past and things like that. They really want to know, and I will, even though I'm booked up for months in advance, I will put foster carers in to communicate with their pets, just to give them a better understanding, and it's a free service.
Wow, that's fantastic, you know, because it's...
Well, you give back, because you want the animals to be, you want the dogs or the cats or something, to be able to speak and give them a voice. And say with the foster parents what's happened in their past, you know, what they're looking for in a new owner. It really does help the new foster carers to understand what's been happening with this pet or you know, what sort of home they want, or are they in pain or something like that.
Yeah, because you just don't know. You don't know what kind of past they've had. And until you get them, you're not sure how it's going to be, right? So
they could be hiding some very, you know, frightening traits.
Yeah.
My big boy is actually a rescue, my 57-kilo Mastiff Cross Great Dane. He's actually a rescue himself. I wasn't planning on getting him. And that was 4 years ago, and I've still got him. And he's a bit of a celebrity, because people think that because I'm Australia's leading animal communicator, that I have a really well-behaved dog. No. He's naughty.
No, they get spoiled, don't they?
Oh, he gets up to no good.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And, you know, in the last one we got, there's this Chihuahua. She was left at McDonald's.
Oh, my God.
So we call her Nugget. But,
okay,
you know,
is there about three that you've got at the moment?
No, two now.
Two now, okay.
Yeah, and, you know, that's how it goes. But you can be, I'll take as many as I can take, you know. It comes in waves. And I just, you know, strange what people do with their pets. You know?
You know what, Al? I've seen some horrific stuff, not physically seen, but communicated with some animals that have had some absolutely horrific stuff. My first girl, Charlotte, she was a rescue, and she had cigarette burns all over her stomach.
Oh, that's crazy.
She'd been owned by a young guy, tied up, no water, no food, no nothing, and he used to apparently stop his cigarettes out on her. But she spent 12 years with me until she passed away, and gave her a beautiful home, and she was gorgeous. Loved her to bits.
You have to wonder what goes through people to want to do that to pets, or maybe they have to. I always wonder what kind of people do that, these awful things, you know?
It's just, I think, well, man itself, you know, they underestimate the power of the animals and their minds. And, you know, these days, you know, we don't use palm oil because that's, you know, destroying the habitat of the orangutans. And, you know, soap used to have whale oil in it. Well, we don't use that anymore. You know, majority seems to be a planet that is caring about the animals, and caring about not just the domestic animals, but our wildlife as well. You know, as I said, the orangutans, the habitat, the killing of the whales. I mean, this is atrocious.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's atrocious. You know, our wildlife is suffering, and we're taking their habitat away from them. And it makes me, and this is one thing that Terry has done, bless her, and Bob Irwin. I know Bob Irwin very well. You know, they've bought up some heritage land, so it cannot be destroyed. So the habitat will be living on forever.
Yeah.
You know, and sadly, man and its greed, and his greed doesn't care about the environment and is trashing it. And you know, how many thousands of animals are now extinct because of us?
Yeah, it's awful, just awful.
Heartbreaking. It's absolutely heartbreaking.
Do you ever get connections with other animals? Let's say more wild animals.
Oh. Yeah, if the zoos call me, or people have something different, like if they might have a snake, or they might have a lizard, or, you know, and sometimes people that have been, that are rehabbing the koalas, I will connect to the koalas, and generally it's a body talk. It's, you know, how they're feeling, is there any pain, is there something that, that we can do for them? Because I actually did work for 5 years with Koala Rehab. So I've done a lot. I've done a lot of work with animals, so yeah.
Well, that's, I think it's a very fulfilling thing too, right, for you.
Thank you so much. I mean, the more people I have on my Facebook page, the more people can help me to achieve my goal of helping animals and working with the environment. And my name is really getting out there, and it's getting out there in a very positive way. Like I said, I do a lot of radio. I'm just about to do my own TV show.
Oh, wow.
With another psychic, and so I mean, you know, that's a big part of introducing education to people about their dogs.
Oh yeah, it's what it's all about. You know, you get
absolutely
out there, and you've got a book now.
I do. You can buy it online. It's called Amanda De Warren, My Journey Behind Blue Eyes, and it's all about my incredible story from start to finish, you know, some very bizarre things that happened to me along the way while I was learning to become one of Australia's top five mediums, and animal communications, my time with Steve Irwin and Terry Irwin, and some very, very powerful people that are still with me these days, and people that I've connected to over the years, and how I learned to become who I was, the way my guides taught me, my masters taught me. I mean, as I said, I'm booked up into December now. I'm flat out all the time, and I don't advertise.
Well, that's fantastic, but, you know, you're helping people, obviously, so that's why they're doing it. That's why you're busy. And was there a single thing in your life that kind of changed for you, or a major event that kind of led to what you're doing today?
Gosh, there's so many that are in my book. It's hard to really distinguish one from the other, but I think probably the one that stands out the most is my first actual animal communication, real animal communication. I knew I've always had this in my life. And that was many, many years ago when I was doing a medium reading for a lady, and her German Shepherd was sitting at the door. And all of a sudden, I started drifting over to the German Shepherd sitting at the door, and he goes, "I miss my little tan and white friend. He was here for a while, now he's gone." So I said to the lady, "Did your dog have a little tan and white friend here for a while?" She goes, "Yes, we were dog sitting for a couple of months. He's only just gone home." And I said, she goes, "How did you know that?" I said, "Your dog just told me." And then the dog said, "Oh, I don't like that chicken stuff she feeds me, but I love the kids, and can you take me for more walks?" And she's like, "Oh my gosh." She said, "I didn't think he liked that chicken roll stuff." I said, "No, don't give it to him." I said, "He needs more walks." She goes, "Yes, I know, I'm sorry." And that was kind of the first animal communication. I went, well, there's something in this. So then I started communicating with animals, and so I was pretty spot on.
Now a lot of mediums talk about ways they you know, train or develop their spirituality. Is it sort of similar with animal communication?
It's like anything. You know, you just need to work at it and practice, and I have a very good rapport with my guides and my ascended masters and my loved ones, and I've it's almost like I've devised our own language that they can interpret what the animal is saying to me, and then I interpret it onto the person that's sitting in front of or on the phone, because as I said, I communicate with people all over the world. So I understand what my guides are saying to me, interpreted from the animal, and vice versa. I will not physically say something, because I'll be talking to the person on the phone, and I'll be saying something to the animal, and then the animal will answer my question back to me. Like, for instance, I work with some very, very expensive Olympic horses and so forth. And one of the ladies rang me not so long ago, and her horse was not jumping properly. And I said, "Honey, he's got a bad problem with his left eye." And I said, it needs some really intensive work on it. I said, he can't see the, when he's coming up to the jumps, it's like there is a blockage. He can't see the jumps properly. And she goes, she took him to the vets. The vet said, no, there's nothing there, but we'll send him to an equine specialist. There, behind the eye, they found scarring.
Oh.
Behind the eye. So he was, what the horse was saying was absolutely correct. That's the vet said, the specialist vet said, he would have trouble seeing because it's right in his peripheral vision. It's right in front of him. So it's just a blur. So, yeah, so that's that was one of the most interesting things. That's actually written in my book.
That's great. Now, so what else do you do other than the animals? Now, I understand you said you're a psychic medium as well.
I communicate with people that have passed over. I'm also able to communicate with children that are unborn, giving the parents a, sort of an identity of what their child will be like. I do life direction, body talk. I communicate with people's bodies and animals' bodies. So I'm able to go in and do some healing. I'm also a qualified advanced pranic healer. I'm certified pranic healer. So I do healings as well. I'm a bit of a jack of all trades here.
I'll say. My, I can just do it all. Take the whole family. And that's... Now, I also... I was doing some reading, and I know that you... and you had done a communication with the old Michael Hutchinson from NXS or something?
Michael Hutchins, several times.
Wow. So what was that like? Like, where did that come from?
It's quite bizarre because my guides know not to tell me if the person is a celebrity or not. Not that it really matters, because the stuff that comes through is stuff that nobody would know anyway. I was doing a communication for Michael Hutchins' lawyer, who was also his friend, first name Steve. And Steve, I don't know who the people are on the other end of the phone. I've got no idea. Nor do I know who the person is coming through. And he talked to Steve about his love of opera and his love of singing, that he was writing an opera. Nobody else knew this. Steve did this behind closed doors. And there was a very brief thing about, you know, what happened when he passed, which I obviously, you know, for privacy reasons,
right,
I can't go into.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Right.
But he sort of told me how he passed, and then at the end of it, Steve said to me, "Do you know who he's talking to? You're talking to?" And I said, "No idea. Wouldn't make any difference anyway." He said, "You're talking to Michael Hutchence." I went, "Oh, really? Hello, Michael." You know, I don't get like, "Oh my gosh!" You know, I just go with the flow, and I prefer not to know.
Yeah.
Because I'm, you know, I just prefer not to know who they are, because to me, they're souls. They're just souls. Okay, they were famous on this planet, but they are souls.
Right, right.
How I want them to come through. I don't give them any precedence over any other soul that comes through. I treat them the same, with respect, obviously.
Right, right.
But I don't make a big deal about it, you know, throw myself on the floor and go and get on Facebook and go, "Oh my gosh, I just spoke to Michael Hutchence."
Yeah, yeah.
He's had a couple of communications with me.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, that's amazing. And you also help solve some mysteries as well. So that must be kind of terrifying sometimes.
It is when you go to, I don't know whether you've heard about Daniel Morcombe over here. He was a young boy that went missing several years ago, and the police came to me and said, "Can you help find Daniel?" And they took me to I pinpointed this place that I'd never been to before, and I said, "It's not his body, it's someone else's, it's two nurses." And I said, "I'm looking at the railway track, but it only runs for about 2 kilometres. I said, it's skinny, narrow, and I said it goes through the side of a hill, and it's got barbed wire. And I said, you come up around that," and I was describing this area to the exact, never been there before, and he said, "I know where that is." So we went to the track, and this was in the middle of a pine forest, and I all of a sudden went down to the right into the bush, and I started to dig. And we actually found the skeletal bones of a young nurse that had gone missing several years beforehand.
Oh, how does that feel for you?
Like elation, because I had the bones went down. It's actually in the paper, but thank goodness they didn't say my name. It was elation, because I was able to tell them how she passed, because she communicated with me. And then when they sent the bones down to forensics, it turned out it was the bones of this. There was two young women, but I only found one. And she described being kidnapped and put in the back of this white van and taken to this area. And then she showed me. I mean, it was a very, very sad moment, but it gave the family in the UK a lot of closure.
Yeah, yeah.
The because result. They were then able to identify through DNA who this woman was, and at least have her flown back home and able to have her properly buried.
And in cases like that, do you end up feeling what they went through? Is it like
in my work, you have to see how they passed, because they need to tell you how they passed. And I see it all, Al. It comes through to me, and by the end of the day, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
By the end of the day, but I also know that I bring closure and peace to the families that I've communicated with. And it can happen at any time, any place. You know, I do the Pet Expo on the Gold Coast, which is the biggest Pet Expo in Australia. I'm always a celebrity guest there, and I go on stage. And I just finished on stage, and I pick people out, and I communicate with the animals and so forth. and my PA and I went and had some lunch. And I'm sitting down having my lunch, and I and one of the ladies that does that was in the dog suit, she came in, took her suit off, and I looked at her and I said, "Your dad's coming through." And I said, "Something about chocolate-covered marshmallows," and she nearly fell off her chair. She goes, "Oh, my gosh, that was my dad's favorite." And I said, "And something about a giraffe." She goes, "Oh, my gosh," and she was falling in a heap. And I said, "You were not there when your dad passed, but you have felt so bad about it. But he doesn't want you to feel bad about it. He's bringing through a dog." And I was just sitting there having my lunch, chewing on my lunch at the same time, having a chat with this lady that was in a dog suit, bringing through her father. You know, she's like, and she's a personal trainer. And she said to me, "If ever you want to be personal trained," she said, "you come to me." She said, "You've just given me," and she sent me this beautiful email. "Thank you so much for giving me so much peace and closure." You know, and it's all about the peace and the closure and just letting people be able to get on with their lives, not carrying that burden around, Al, because we all know, you know, when our loved ones pass, we kind of torture ourselves in a way.
Right, yes.
You know?
Yeah.
But has your dad passed?
Yeah. Sorry?
Has your dad passed?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because he keeps coming through.
Oh.
Now, I feel it was a quick passing with him, was it? Fairly quick? He said he went downhill quite quickly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it was...
He must have had a lot of ailments.
A fair bit, yeah.
He showed me... Was his chest area with him?
Well, he had cancer.
And it started down below, didn't it? Like the bowel or the bladder or something.
Pancreas and liver.
Pancreas. And he's saying it moved up. He was a nice man, though, your dad, wasn't he?
Depends on who you talk to. I think, you know, when he was sober, he was fairly nice.
He seems like a very gentle person coming through. And I felt like he's... I know that he's been gone for quite a long time, but I could sense he was around, and he's sort of been around from the beginning. And he's being very, very, courteous towards me, because I said, I'm busy at the moment. Can you just hold back for a minute? Which he did. But I felt him agitated, you know, wanting to come through.
Well, you know how it is.
And that, well, I've even done a reading on a plane when I was heading to Melbourne. This lady sat beside me, and her husband kept singing "When the Saints Come Marching In," and he just kept doing it over and over and over again. I'm like, okay, all right. And I looked at this lady and I said, "I'm sorry, honey." I said, "But I've got a man coming through for you. He tells me he's your husband, and he's singing 'When the Saints Come Marching In.'" She lost it.
Oh.
She said, "My husband's favorite football team are the Saints." And she said, "He promised me on his deathbed that if he could get a message through to me, he was going to sing 'When the Saints Come Marching In.'" and we had a little bit of a chat 30,000 feet up. Anytime, any place, anywhere, it just goes like, you know, it just goes. It goes with the flow.
But does that ever become a problem? I mean, in the sense that, do you ever get a break?
Yes and no. You know, I do this for a living, and I've been doing it for a long time, but it's not about me. It's never about me. If I feel that this person in front of me or beside me or on the phone needs to have closure, or just even if it's just a brief message, like the lady in the dog suit and the lady sitting beside me in on the plane, you know, I don't like to turn around and say, "Oh, get lost, I'm not talking at the moment." I think that it's been given to me to bring people closure. It's not about the money. It's not about me being famous or anything like that. Everyone that knows me will tell you I'm a really down-to-earth person.
Right.
But I treat this work very seriously, and I'd like to give as many people as I can closure. Whether it be their dogs or whether it be their loved ones or something like that.
Do you feel like the I mean I guess the overall energy of mediumship is kind of more on the upswing, more positive and more popular nowadays.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you feel like it's a good thing, right?
It's a fantastic thing because, you know, when I started 15, 20 years ago, I just had to barrel through negativity and, you know, and abuse and stuff like that. Now I am known as one of the pioneers of this industry over here because I didn't back down and I stood my ground. And time and, I mean, I've been in thousands of newspapers, radio, television, you know, magazines, all of that. And I have put my neck out on the line to prove to people that there is life after death, whether it be your animals, your loved ones, you know, and I do this all the time. It's probably not a day goes by that I don't use my gift to bring closure to somebody.
Is there any influences you have that are in the business itself?
Each other. I am a lot of my colleagues that are also very well known, we support each other. And I think that's very crucial in this industry. I never allow bad-mouthing from each other. I have some very powerful medium friends who I absolutely adore. There is no competition between us. I encourage friendship, love, and support. And I have some amazing psychic friends that we all support each other and we all love each other. And that's incredibly important, Alan.
Yeah.
You know, we need each other. There's plenty of work for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's no need for bitching and fighting and arguing. I just don't allow that in this industry. You know, I'm pretty highly respected in this industry over here. And I encourage peace and support and just being there for each other. I was at an expo the other day and I had so many people wanting to come and see me. So I sent them to a couple of my other medium friends. I said, oh, look, Christine Rose, she's fantastic, you know, Paniotta, she's amazing. Go and see these ladies. You know, if I've got too much work on, I will farm it out to my other colleagues.
Yeah. Well, that's you know, that's the way you got to be, you know. Is there anything that influences you outside of the work? Like, is there a particular things you like to read or watch or listen to?
I'm a bit of a gym junkie.
Okay.
I love my gym 5 days a week. I have a big dog and I live 7 minutes from the beach. I run along the beach quite regularly. I love to garden. I love my family, my children and my friends. And as I said to you before, I lost my husband 2 years ago in a truck accident, which I knew was going to happen, because 3 days before he died, I had a vision of me looking over him in a coffin, and it was exactly how it was when I went and said my goodbyes to him. And I did say to him, please be careful, because he said to me, I feel like something bad's going to happen. I said, yeah, I know. Will you please just stop and rest for a little while, please? And he didn't, and he fell asleep at the wheel, and our road train toppled down 100-meter embankment.
Wow.
And he was killed instantly.
So there's really no stopping to something like that, is there?
If it's meant to happen, it's meant to happen. I mean, he's still around me. My medium friends bring him through a lot, and he gives me signs. And, you know, signs are so important because not long after it happened, he used to sing the song Oh Mandy by Barry Manilow.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I walked into a girlfriend's place one day, and she had some, like, random music happening. As soon as we both walked inside, that song played, and we looked at each other, and I just lost it. She goes, that's Mick. And every time I go to an event, he always plays Songbird by Eva Cassidy. Every event I do. Don't hear it any other time. I only hear it when I'm doing events. So then I tend to lose it a bit, have to compose myself and get up on stage.
So where do you think that we go when we pass? Is there something that's I guess I always touch off a little bit on religion in the sense that has it affected your views on religion, or how do you react with...
I still believe that there is a God, despite what the Bible says about mediums. I do believe that there is a supreme being, and we go back over there to join them. When I kind of got a glimpse of this last year at the Pet Expo. Going to the Pet Expo, I thought, doing all the kitties and doggies. No, that wasn't going to happen. That's something big in store for me, which is also written in my book. I was sitting there, two ladies in front of me, and I said to them, there's a lady coming through, and I felt like it was an explosion. And I said, but this was a plane explosion. And I just went, oh my gosh. This was the MH17 that was bombed. And I saw all of these people passing, all the people from the MH17. And my description of her, the necklace, the what's been happening afterwards, I didn't know these women for a bar of soap. But when I saw the plane explode, and when I saw this lady who's since had a lot of family members have readings with me, and I saw all of the MH17 people passing over, Helena included, I saw this like this big open, like their bodies were shattered, but their spirits, it's like I saw all these faces through this big, like golden, it had a big ring around it, and then it just had this like peaceful kind of mist, and I saw all these people kind of walking through and meeting these people, and then I saw them going through to this very this gentle plane. It was like it was colors and all the people from the MH17 being taken peacefully. It's like they knew it was going to happen and they were waiting for them, and that's probably the closest glimpse of heaven that I had. I felt this, nothing on earth like it, this enormous amount of peace, and it's almost indescribable. It was like they wanted me to see a glimpse of it, of what the MH17 people were going to.
Wow. And so do you think we actually kind of choose when we're going to die, maybe?
I think that everything is pre-planned. Like a friend of mine's uncle, he has just gotten very, very sick, and she rang me and she said, when do you think he's going to pass? And I said, early Thursday morning. I said, that's when I see him crossing over. He passed at 1:30 a.m. Thursday morning.
Wow.
And I just knew that that was the end of his timeline. I kind of see a timeline for people. So it must be... it must be pre-planned because sometimes we can change it. If it's meant to be changed, it will. So I think that our life here on this planet, we do what we need to do. It's we're here for a purpose. Whether it's big or small, we are meant to be here for a purpose. And and I feel that once that purpose is finished and we've done what we've needed to do, then it's our time to go back home. I said to my mother one day, I said, my mother's passed, and I said to my mother one day, tell me about heaven. What is it like? She said, it's an indescribable, peaceful feeling. She said, we all are separate. We all know who each other is. But we all have this connection with each other. We're all interconnected. So, that's how I would describe it. Because when I was learning this, in my book, it'll tell you about the Universal University and the different places that I was taken to, the different departments that I was taken to by my ascended master, my main ascended master, Ashkaya. So I feel that when I was doing my Universal University studies, which was for 3 days, I'd get taken out of my body and I would go to university. And then I would, I'd come back into my body and I'd have a normal, everyday life. But then after that, I'd go for a few months and then I'd go to the Universal University and was taught. So the afterlife plane must have Because this university is massive. It's huge, and it houses all animals, even dodo birds, you know, extinct animals, all kinds of animals. So there must be a place over there, and I felt that was where I went to. I was taken over there to be taught to do what I need to do.
And so what happens, I have to ask, what happens to people if they're real evil? Someone like Hitler.
It's funny you should say that, because we had a discussion on this the other day, and people like Osama bin Laden and Hitler and all of those really, really nasty people, I think that they still go over there. And I'm wondering whether it was in their contract to do what they need to do. As terrorizing as it is and as heartbreaking as it is, was this in their contract? Honestly, how can you send someone so evil to come back and take those thousands and thousands and thousands of innocent lives? I mean, this will affect the whole planet for the rest of its eternity. You know, it's changed the course of history for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
Because those 6,000 plus are not on this planet anymore from 9-1-1.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to wonder, how can you let someone into, like, bin Laden, back into mainstream, when there's about 6,000 plus people over there that he took their lives, he took them away from their loved ones, from their families, from their children. How well would he be received? I think that if I was one of those people from 9-1-1, I'd probably want to kill him all over again.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he did. Those people, Hitler and people like that, they atrocities on the human race.
Yeah.
You know, the body dies, but the mind stays alive. So what kind of mind is that, that it could possibly be allowed to go back over and join the beautiful souls that are over there? Because they're not beautiful souls. They're evil. They're wicked. I get the feeling they get sent somewhere else. People that are that bad get sent somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I wouldn't want to be associated with something like that.
No, 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 no. And so do you feel like the whole world's in a maybe rough spot right now?
Oh, absolutely. On so many levels, Al. The violence, the abuse, the, you know, it's started over here now. Young people invading old people's homes and knocking them to the ground, you know, for $25. You know, and that worries me so much.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my brother's unwell at the moment, and he lives on his own. And I worry about him, you know, constantly being in Brisbane. He's 2 hours away from me. But, you know, we worry about our family and the atrocities that are happening. There's the rape and the pillage of this planet, you know, the Amazon basin, you know, the jungles, the habitats, it's just being destroyed. And the pollution, don't get me started there. You know?
Yeah.
The ozone, the pollution of our waters, it's industry. It's just, I wonder how long this planet can actually sustain. You know, because it's making people so sick. So many people are dying of cancer because even our rainwater is tainted. Because it's evaporating, you know, industrial tainted water, and then it rains on somewhere, and it's polluted. It's fresh rainwater, but it's polluted.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the sad thing.
Yeah, yeah. Another shooting in the U.S. today as well.
School, oh my gosh! School, oh dear, school what shooting. Happened?
Oh, school shooting. kid went into the college. 13 dead. Another 21. Injured, so he shot a lot of people, and they killed him in the parking lot. But he was 26 years old, and he went in and he asked in the class. It was a chemistry, some sort of chemistry, you know, science class.
Yeah.
And he asked everybody that was Christian to stand up, and he shot them. Yeah. It was just devastating. Because it's just in a small town, too, in the West Coast, south of Portland, which is the major city. But it's a good hour south of it. It's just a little town. So, really weird.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, things like that. You have to wonder.
My heart goes out to those people.
Yeah, it's devastating.
The families, you know.
You have to wonder, but how that...
There's two different types of passings. There's trauma and prolonged. Prolonged, someone that's been very sick for a long time and is ready to go over. Trauma is a young person that has their whole life ahead of them, and sometimes they get a little confused. But I've noticed in things like that, especially because I've communicated with a few people that have passed in 911, and they said when the souls were floating up towards, and they described the circle, the hole in it, like the sky that they went through, and you know, none of these people were expecting it, and some of them struggled to. It's like, no, I can't possibly be dead. You know, this just kind of happened.
So, do you think some of the souls get stuck, and maybe that's what's kind of, you know, haunting?
Occasionally, they do. Especially the trauma passing. Very rarely is it the prolonged passing, because they've had enough and they've been ready to go for a long time. You know, but the trauma passing, you know, the young people all of a sudden that get taken over there, you know, it's such a shock for them, because as they're standing there, I remember I did a communication with one young man that was, he was killed in an accident. He was only 18, and he was the passenger. And he stood there for probably a good 3 days, even after they'd taken the car away. He stood there, and he saw them take his body, cover it up and take his body, but he still refused to leave. So I call them all earthwalkers, and we just moved them from the light, you know, they're encouraged by the loved ones that are there to meet them to come over. But sometimes it does take them maybe up to 2 or 3 days, maybe even longer, you know, to make that transition to go over to the afterlife. Yeah. Because they're afraid, or they just, you know, they just haven't accepted the fact that they've passed over.
Yeah, yeah. Shock, you know.
Shock. We have shock. They have shock. It's like, what the heck just happened? I'm standing over my... He said, next thing, I was standing over my body. He said, and my grandpa was behind me and beckoning me. And he said, I just couldn't go. You know? And he said, and I saw people come and put, you know, put to my friends. I saw them put wreaths on, you know, flowers where I passed away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of things that I want to teach people about. Well, my ideas and my theories, I'm not saying that I'm correct, but I've done a lot of reading, so I know there has to be something afterwards. I mean, as I said, I have no prior information. All my office give me as a first name so I can know who I'm talking to. Yet I'll bring through really profound stuff that nobody else knows. There was a lady in Scotland the other day, and I said to her, your husband, I told her how he passed away and everything, the circumstances of what happened and how long he's passed, which I learned in the Universal University. I said, what's this about under the pillow? And I feel like you're tapping things. I said, it's annoying him. And she started to laugh, and she said, I just bought an iPad and I put it under my pillow and I tap at it at night. She said, nobody knows that. But her husband did, because he said, I said, you're tapping something. You're pulling something out from under your pillow at night and you're tapping on it. And, it turned out to be an iPad. So funny. But, I mean, you know, people should never really be afraid of death. I'm not saying, you know, obviously not saying it's a great thing.
Yeah.
But when it is your time, as far as I can see, the thousands and thousands and thousands of readings I've done, Nobody has ever said it's a horrible experience. They've all basically said the same thing. A shifting of their energy, meeting a loved one or loved ones and pets and going through the, I'd say it would be the portal. It's like a, in the sky, it's all these colours and faces that come through. It's like a rim of a very bright light, and then it's almost like an oval shape. And then they drift up through it with their loved ones, and then they're out of sight. That's it, they go. So there has to be something in it.
Yeah. Well, it's been amazing talking with you. I mean, the hour has gone by.
You are very, very welcome, and thank you so much for having me. I really appreciated it.
Well, yeah, it's fantastic. Now, give your contact information for anybody over here that wants to get your book or get in contact with you. How would they do that?
www.amandadewarren, that's AmandaDeWarren. That gives you all the details of where to go for my book or have a reading with me. We hope to be over in the US sometime next year, so that would be great.
Yeah, it'd be exciting. Fantastic.
Maybe live on your show.
What? We'll do it.
Thank you so much, Al, for having me. And thank you, America, for listening to me in Canada. I wish you all well over there, and take care of yourselves.
Well, thank you very much.
You are very welcome.
The mission has been completed.
The end!
By George, he's got it! It is the end!
I'll see you.
This has been a production of the Z-Talk Radio Network.
If you're lying to me, I'll be back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.